All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Social Connected 360, number 26. I have my good friend, Norman Bristol Colon, the chairman of the Pennsylvania Latino Convention, among many titles. Not only has he done so much for our Latino community here in the state of Pennsylvania, but also Puerto Rico. And it's an honor and a privilege. And my goal is to connect him with you, starting now. All right. Welcome back. Socially Connected 360, numero 26. Estamos aquí with my good friend, Norman Bristol. This is an exciting show for me, folks. I want to welcome in a man who I look up to, a man that I call a mentor because I've seen his work. I've worked right alongside of him on many initiatives. Norman Bristol, man, how's everything going? Thank you for being on the show.
It's going well, bro. Two things before we get into the beef of tonight's conversation. First, you look up to me as a mentor, but I'm not much older than you. Let's put that out there. And the second thing is that it took him 25 shows to bring it to 26.
Wait, come on. There's a story behind this. So this show, obviously, I got an answer for everything, man. I'm getting twisted. And by the way, we're on iHeartRadio. We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, everything. We're on everything. That's the concept of the show, Socially Connected 360, on all platforms, trying to connect folks with, you know, folks like Norman Bristol. But to back up, you know, what's going on here, let's back up a little bit. So we have a big thing coming to Allentown, and I've been waiting for that big thing. So I'm excited to be able to have you here now, because we're going to talk about it in a little bit. We're not going to reveal it yet, but that big thing's coming here. So let's back up a little bit. It's perfect timing. Let me leave it at that.
Let's just say that we just, you know, left it for the right moment at the right time.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the political answer, I guess. So what's up, man? How's everything going? I obviously, you're well known in the state. You're well known in Puerto Rico. But there's a lot of folks out there that still to meet, you know, in the nation and even Pennsylvania, all over. Let's talk a little bit about your early life, man. How's everything going? And tell us a little bit about you, man.
Well, you know, and this is the great thing about podcasts, that mm-hmm. we have the opportunity to dress down and to talk. I'm yo con una gorra, you know.
Exactly.
I'm not allowed to do that when I am in my official capacity. But, you know, for myself, I'm Norman Bristol Colon, born and raised in the island, come from a very humble family. I am the youngest that my mom raised, the los seis hombres de ella, los hijos de ella, by herself.
Wow, thanks.
But, you know, those island upbringing really shaped the man I am today, with values, with morals, with a strong commitment for community service, mm-hmm. Making sure that we're not leaving anyone behind. You know, and then I'm, after all the upbringing in the island, which was beautiful, I think it was vital and essential for me to be, you know, and God placed me in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Pennsylvania, my senior year of high school, finding better opportunities, no different to what many Puerto Ricans and Latinos did. And in this case, many Puerto Ricans did almost 100 years ago, moving to Bethlehem for the Bethlehem steel industry. Mm-hmm. It was all about economic opportunities.
Absolutely.
Having a decent job, being able to provide for their family. So my family moved to Pennsylvania exactly with the same reasons that many Puerto Ricans did back then and many immigrants' families do today. It is all about finding economic opportunities, because we need we need bread in the table. We need to eat, right, on a daily basis. And that was the bottom line that's why we moved here. So after moving to Pennsylvania, Lancaster, and graduating from high school, I went on to college, Penn State University. I graduated from the university. And since then, I have been involved in every single political campaign in Pennsylvania. For the past 20 plus years, that has been part of my life, working in all aspects related, not only to Latinos, because you and I know very well that the work that we do, even though we are Latinos, it encompasses everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, we are here to serve everyone. We're here to protect everyone. We are here to uplift everyone. So, you know, after graduating from college, I went on and I worked for many organizations, including a federal program, the Migrant Education Program, Assistant Director of Admissions at Millersville University, went on to be the Director of the Future Planning Center at the School District of Lancaster, the Director of the Governor's Latino Commission, all the way to now being the Chief Diversity Officer for the Department of Community and Economic Development. So it has been a very long journey, very challenging and demanding journey. But here I am, you know, and this is good, Luis, because I want people to know that even when we hold some positions of leadership, I want Latinos to know that I come exactly from where they come from.
Absolutely.
And that's why I understand their journeys and their circumstances and their struggles, mm-hmm. and their sacrifices. And the greatest love that I have after my mom and of course, Adriana, is the work that I do in the Latino community.
Absolutely. No, man, listen, and this is why I want to bring folks like you on my podcast. You know, you have so much experience, not only in overcoming, you know, maybe some circumstance as a youth, right? But coming here and then overcoming so much more with the struggles that we have to go through with the transition period, coming from, you know, overseas, learning a new language, those type of things. And even just the struggle of, you know, prejudice, racism, bigotry, all those things that we all face. So that's why I love bringing you on the show. But I want to back up a little bit to Puerto Rico, just real quick. We visited the island last year. I did a little a tour of the island. We rented a van, but I want to get your perspective. If somebody wants to, because, you know, we love our island, but you're Mr. Puerto Rico. I always say it, Mr. Puerto Rico. What would be the best place to go? Have you never been to Puerto Rico? Never been to Puerto Rico. What would be the best place to go?
Politically, I have to play it politically correct. I think that the entire island is beautiful.
Oh, here we go.
So you should go everywhere. However, I am from Guayama. That is the south coast of Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And the island is different in every single aspect. Even when it's such a small island, Puerto Rico is so diverse. So in the southwest, Cabo Rojo and Lajas and La Palguera, all that area, you possibly have the best playas, mm-hmm. The most beautiful blue sea playas of the Caribbean Sea. And then if you go to my southeastern part of the island, that is Guayama, Salinas, Arroyo, Patillas, Manabo. That is possibly the Puerto Rico that is most authentic in the coast. Mm. You know, it's very authentic. The food is amazing. There's not much tourism and development going on. So you still have that strong Puerto Rican presence. And then you go to Old San Juan. Mm. The oldest city in the United States is San Juan, over 500 years old.
Wow.
If you really want to see, the transformation of the Americas, how it was, you go to Puerto Rico, and then you want to see how it is. Then you go to Silicon Valley in California. Mm. So you see the contrast, from San Juan to Silicon Valley, and you see the transformation of our nation.
Wow.
Then the most beautiful beach that we have been to in the world, in the entire world, is in the island of Culebra. Flamenco Beach.
Remember that, everybody.
It is possibly the most beautiful. You know, we have been in Hawaii and in many places. So people really need to go to Culebra Island. Mm.
I mean, for me, like you said, man, the entire island was just phenomenal. We rented a van and it was just like... But just like you said, you name like 20 different places, so you can't go wrong. I just wanted to ask you because obviously you're Mr. Puerto Rico. So, I'm definitely going to Culebra Beach to check that out. I've never been there, but we'll definitely go visit. So let's get right into it. So you get here, you told us a little bit of your background. How do you transition from, you know, graduating from Penn State and now you get into to government? Take us on that little journey real quick on how you get into government work and you know, helping with campaigns and then obviously running for mayor as well in Lancaster when you ran, and then some other races.
You know, even when I wasn't raised by my father was always part of my life. You know, my mom raised all of us by herself and without his support, but she was always committed to make sure that she didn't raise broken kids, mm-hmm. you know? So she didn't create any drama between the two of them to be a part of us. So my father was always a part of us. And my dad was heavily involved in politics in Puerto Rico and in New York City. So in Puerto Rico, he was like the assistant, unofficial assistant to the mayor of my hometown. And when the mayor of my hometown became the state representative, my father would go with him to the Capitol building in San Juan, and he would be the mind and the brain of the process.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, the guy was the politician, but my dad was the brain, you know, behind the experts. And we got involved in politics early on because he would take us to the capital of Puerto Rico and we will see the debate and the fight. And we will, you know, we will be in the gallery of the Capitol building. And he did it intentionally, you know. He will bring us there. The debate was between the PNPs and the Populares and Independentistas and everybody else. And they were fighting and, you know, going crazy because when you believe in something, it is okay to fight. However, this is the beauty of it. Then we will go out for lunch or dinner with all the elected officials in the House of Puerto Rico or the Senate, and we will be in the same place. And as a kid, I will witness the guys that were fighting in the floor of the House of Puerto Rico, being los compadres, having a beer together, asking, how is your wife doing? How is my goddaughter? Because they are the compadres, you know, among themselves.
Yeah.
And that taught me a great lesson about politics and the way that we can improve people's life without, fight for whatever you believe in. But when you lose, just accept the outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, I knew that politics is the vehicle to really improve the life of people, independently of where you are at. You know, even today when you see what is going on between Ukraine and Russia, you already know that politics is heavily involved. And for me, my father instilled in us early on that in order for us to really be citizens of the world in the global humanity, it was important for us to understand the cause and effect of good and bad political decisions.
That's powerful, man. That's powerful. And again, the ability to do that is very difficult, in that when you lose, you take it personal. If you haven't been around that and you haven't really lived that, or you haven't understood that, like for instance, like boxing, you know, you see them go at it, they're in the press conference, they're going at it, they're fighting, they're talking, you know, bad to each other, and they fight. And then at the end, they're hugging each other and they're kissing each other. It's almost the same concept that politics, you know, where you're going to go after each other, you're going to do your best, you're going to train, you're going to learn your, you know, your talking points, the stuff that you believe in, and you're going to debate. And then at the end, you know, when the lights are off and, you know, the cameras are not there anymore, if you can really figure it out. For me, it was very difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. I ran for mayor when you ran for mayor, and that was probably one of the hardest things for me to really just take in, that pride that, I can't believe I lost, and now I don't want to deal with this person. But your way, the mature way, I mean, that's just the way to go. So wonderful, wonderful stuff. I didn't know that about you. You know, I've known you for several years and I did not know that about you. It's amazing.
You know, and the thing is this, my mom was the one raising us, but she disliked politics, and my dad wasn't involved, but we love politics. Yeah. It's not only me, you know, my brothers are the same way. They love politics because they know that it's the vehicle to change people's life. And when you talk about, you know, running for mayor, you know, you and I, we have that unique connection that we ran for the first time and we changed some political dynamics that to me, we were the sacrificial lamb. And I always say that in one of my speeches, I said, nosotros somos la oveja sacrificada.
Yeah.
And what do I mean when I say this? That back then when we ran for office, and it was challenging,
yeah.
You know, we were challenging the status quo and we were challenging systems and institutions. And we dare to run for office without asking for permission.
Yeah.
You know, without asking for permission. And it was okay because yeah. Today, when you see so many Latino elected to office in Allentown, in Bethlehem, and in Lancaster, in New York, in Philly, all over, we were the sacrificial lamb, bro. We opened, to some extent, the daring hearts of those Latinos wanting to run for office. And now we have so many of them. So, yeah, we didn't make it. No. We didn't make it because institutions were not ready for us.
Yeah.
Not because we were not the best candidates, because I still believe today that we were, but institutions were not ready for this diverse voice that was convincing, that was morally driven, not business driven, and interest driven, but it was morally driven to make an impact in the local communities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, till this day, I think about those times and they were very different. It felt like just yesterday, but it was very different. The landscape was different. The you know, you felt alone. You kind of felt a little bit of alone, you know, like you were just, it was just a different time. Now, I mean, obviously, when you see, like you said, so many people running, so many people winning, the landscape is changing. People are, you know, are out there and inspired by it. And so, yeah, but those were still great times. We ran strong campaigns and I, you know, when people talk to me all the time, like, oh, you're going to run again. I said, listen, when you run, and you dedicate yourself to that campaign and those people and your team, because you got to build the team and you're out there, you put your whole life out there. It takes a lot out of you. You got to be ready for this. Like this is, it's not something that you just do. And so in the future, we'll see what happens, but man, yeah, I remember I reached out to you. I think it was on LinkedIn. I said, and I saw you running. I didn't at the time, I knew of you, but I was like, man, I got to talk to this guy. And we actually talked to each other and it was like, man, yeah, that's great. You're running, I'm running. And so, yeah, it was great, great memories there. But tell us a little bit about that. So after you ran, what happens after you run? Do you go back to government work? Were you in government work at the time and working for the state?
You know, and it is a great question, Luis. I left government after serving 8+ years as director of the Governor's Latino Commission because I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I wanted to open a business and do some consulting work. So I was traveling all over the nation, doing a lot of consulting, improving organizations, being a consultant to many candidates, to every single elected official, Democratic elected official in Lancaster. I was involved in their campaigns to every single one of them. You know, and I work in gubernatorial campaigns, presidential campaigns, every single level of campaigns going on in our democracy, I was involved. So after being in the consulting work, doing a lot of organization, advancing the Latino agenda, because remember that even when I spent some time in GACLA or the Governor's Latino Commission, I needed some freedom to do the things and to say the things that needed to be said independently of who was the governor of Pennsylvania. So I took some time off because I needed to say some things. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, there are some individuals within Democratic or Republican parties that are not there for the Latino community. And I needed to say that publicly, openly, with the freedom to say so. And as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, I had the opportunity to do so. And that's why I left. So we did great things. We established so many connections. I travel once again all over the nation. And today I can say that we have a stronger Latino community because many of us, not only myself, but so many of us, we were an army of Latino leaders across the nation that took care of business with my community needed us the most, that we, you know, selflessly, we decided, you know, with all the compassion and empathy of the world, that we were going to do this for the people. And today, our community is standing up. We have a model Latino community in Pennsylvania. We have a model Latino community across the nation. And it's because an army of us, we dedicated ourselves to do so. So that time prepared me to run for office. And why I ran for office? First, because I believe that I still am the best candidate for the job, and you can never lose that, right?
Yeah.
See, you have to be your best cheerleader. Yeah. And my grandmother will always say, you know, cuando no crean en ti, eso no importa. Después que tú creas en ti, eso es lo que va.
I love
so
it.
So that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And it was an opportunity to really self-reflection, and I ran in a platform knowing that it will have such a direct impact, not only Latino, but in everyone. Mm-hmm. And today, even when we are not there, I know that my platform is the platform that have been used to really change dynamics, to be inclusive, to be diverse, to create an equity agenda in which we are not leaving anyone behind.
Wonderful. That's the way it should be. And again, this goes with passion for our people, you know, passion for the things that you love to do. You're very passionate about these things, and it shows. I mean, the work is there. It's just, it's amazing to see and to be able to work with you and transition into what we're going to talk about next. I got to see it firsthand. And it's such an honor to be able to talk about this on SC360 because it's happening in the city of Allentown. And obviously, you know, in the beginning, when I'll let you talk about it, but in the beginning, it was so amazing to see. I showed up to this event, and I was so amazed by how well put together it was and how hard we worked to get that first one off. But I want to talk a little bit about the beginning of Latino conventions, right? So I gave a little hint. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about what's coming to Allentown. How do you get involved in the early conventions of the Latino community in Pennsylvania?
You know, as a young college student, I had the opportunity to really work with some of the finest Latino leaders in Pennsylvania. I am because they were, you know, and I don't get tired of saying that. Yo soy porque ellos fueron.
That's awesome.
Y ellos abrieron las puertas para mí y sin ellos yo no estuviese donde yo estoy hoy. Mm-hmm. So early on as a college student at Penn State, I was able to come to the first Pennsylvania, it was called PSLC, the Pennsylvania Statewide Latino Conference. Back then, there were only 200,000 Latinos in Pennsylvania. Only 200,000.
Still a lot.
Yeah, it's still, but compared to today, to 1 million.
Yeah.
And those individuals, you know, like Lillian Escobar Haskins and Angel Ortiz and Maria Quiñones Sanchez and, you know, Nelson Diaz, Pedro Cortez, you know, all those names are synonymous of great Latino leadership. And I was able to come as a young individual and be surrounded by them and learn from them, but also challenge them on the things that I thought were not, you know, in the best path for young Latinos. And they gave me lessons that till today, you know, in the professional work that I do in government, it's because, you know, they challenged me back then. Don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. I'm working in the Pennsylvania Statewide Latino Coalition back then, you know, as a board member. We established the conference. We had events all over the state. I was able to learn the landscape. So for many people that are seeing me now for the first time, I'm not new to this. I have been doing this for the past 20 years. You know, even when we might look young to some extent, we have been in this business for 20 plus years, and and we have been afforded with the opportunity to really learn and see every single change in the Latino community. So back then, you know, you had 200,000 Latinos, the Pennsylvania Statewide Latino Conference. That was the meeting place for gubernatorial candidates that wanted that very small Latino vote. That today is huge, but back then it was very small. It was the meeting place for Latino professionals. It was the opportunity for us to really draft the Latino agenda that we all are enjoying today. You know, back then we discussed some of our own Latino elected officials in the state house or in city council or the mayors that are Latinos today. We already discussed what they are saying today 20 years ago. So it is an opportunity, it is a fulfillment to see that the work that they did, you know, all those individuals back then, now we see it happening in communities across the Commonwealth. So, you know, Luis, I don't know if you know Bill Richardson, but Bill Richardson was the United Nations Secretary under President Clinton, former governor of New Mexico. One of our keynote speakers back then, 20 plus years ago, was Bill Richards, coming from the White House and, and addressing the small Latino community of Pennsylvania. Today is completely different. We are 1 million strong. So, you know, even today, I'm still amazed to what they were able to do with so small, you know, with so little resources. And now that we have the resources, where we are, you know, that's why we're bringing the Latino Convention to fruition.
Yeah, well, and again, not only did they didn't have what we have today to include technology, to include the fact that we have the ability to market, not only, you know, obviously have the media come in, but social media and market it to and reach more people, you know, as far as getting people to the convention, because that, that to me is, you know, obviously the number one goal, get people there and then obviously provide them, you know, with everything that the convention can provide. So let's talk about that. So now you're in government, you get back into government, you're working hard for the Latino community, you're working hard for the state of Pennsylvania. And then, so how does this convention, I think it's 5 years now, right? We're in year five?
We're going to be five
years. 5 years. So 5 years ago, Olga Negron reaches out to me and then you reach out to me. We all get together. There's a small group of people, Deborah Martinez and a couple other folks. And you reach out to me, but tell the folks how that evolves. How does that, how do you reach out? How do you say, man, we're going to do this convention? Because obviously it came from you.
You know, during my years in the Governor's Latino Commission, I was really able to do a lot of interesting, daring maneuvers politically. And I learned early on that the only way that we could accomplish a great deal of success for Latinos, it was especially in politics, it was all about enhancing public policy. So I created the first Latino Health Summit in Pennsylvania. You know, it was an opportunity for us to come together and address health disparities and health issues in the Latino community. And that was many, many years ago, because I understood that in order for us to change the dynamics of the community, we needed to change policy. So I created the Latino Education Summit and the Latino Business Summit and the Latina Women Conference. So through the Governor's Latino Commission, I was able to do all these events, right, for 8 years. Wow. That we were transforming the entire state and the community.
Wow. So
this is what happened, Luis. I was there. We did it. A change of governor came in. And the new governor just completely deleted everything that we were able to accomplish in enhancing and in building the Latino agenda. And for 4 years, there was no Latino agenda in Pennsylvania. So, and this is not a political statement. It is a fact.
No, those are facts.
You know, this is a fact. This is not a political statement. So I come back to state government. as assistant to the Secretary of State and then Director of Special Projects for the Department of State. And I said, we cannot allow anyone to really dictate how is the Latino agenda of Pennsylvania. We have to be independent. We have to be consistent. We have to be transparent. We have to do things that no one can take away from us. You know, and that comes from the highest level of office, from the governor's office, because I experienced that. You know, that the new governor came in and he just deleted completely everything Latino in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So for me, the strategy was, we need to do exactly what we have been doing, but independently of who occupies the governor's office, who occupies the leadership in the House and in the Senate. Because if they, this is a democracy. We have elections every 6 months in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, things change.
So we know that things change and people, elected officials will change. But that doesn't have to impact the agenda of the Latino community. And that's why we created the Pennsylvania Latino Convention to be an independent voice that is consistent, that is transparent, that will have at the heart the well-being of the Latino community in a way that no other organization has been able to do so. And that is a statewide Latino agenda. Mm. You know, that if we have a Republican governor or we have a Democratic governor, we're going to be able to work with the two of them and we're going to be able to hold the two of them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, for me, of course, you know, I haven't been part of this, you know, prior to, you know, 5 years ago and helping you for, you know, several years. It must be inspiring for you, or, you know, just some inspiration for you, a little inspiration to see how this convention has taken off, because this is year five and it's huge now. It's huge. It's phenomenal. I like I said, I remember I showed up a little bit late. I was on military duty the first year. I was in Lancaster. And I remember I'm like, okay, we're going to do the convention. You know, I'm a little bit nervous. You know, obviously you are doing like a lot of the legwork. I helped out with the marketing. And then I get there and then it's just, there was so much energy and it was all like fluid. Everything was moving smoothly, you know, and just being there. And then now we're coming all the way back to my home city, which is a great feeling, to the city of Allentown. Tell a little bit of our listeners of what they're going to expect in this year's convention.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that in 2018, the first city was Lancaster. And it was an amazing opportunity. I did it in Lancaster because I am from Lancaster, right? So I said, this city needs so much about the Latino community, from not only Lancaster, but the statewide Latino community. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing event. The response given to us by the private sector, the corporate entities, it was incredible. You know, that we, the first year, we have over 1,000 people.
Yeah, it was amazing.
In a Pennsylvania Latino convention that was happening for the first time in the city of Lancaster was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we went to the Lehigh Valley. We went to Bethlehem. Olga Negron, former city councilwoman, is from Bethlehem. Bethlehem, when you look at the numbers, possibly produce more Latino professionals than any other city outside of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, this is a professional development event, so we need to go to Bethlehem.
Yeah, yeah.
Then
yeah.
The city of Redding elected a new Latino mayor in Eddie Moran.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, you know, we need to follow the trends. We need to follow what is happening. We need to follow lo que está caliente.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. Eddie got elected because there was an amazing mobilization of Latino voters. And we went to Reading, COVID came in, so we did a virtual convention. And then last year, we pray, oramos. Yo creo que oramos todo el año para poder asegurar de que estuviésemos en Reading. Y fuimos a Reading el año pasado. You know, Manny Guzman, state representative, elected. Joanny Cepeda, city council elected. We have other Latino elected officials in the city of Redding. So the convention is the meeting place of celebrating Latino successes, celebrar el éxito Latino en Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Y ahora, you know, you have the first Latino mayor in the city of Allentown. You have Cynthia Mota, the first Dominican American woman president of a city council. You have the chief of police, a Guatemalan American chief of police in the city of Allentown. You have a Puerto Rican, the chief of the fire department. So we were like, it cannot get better than this. We need to go and celebrate all the great accomplishments of the city of Allentown.
Yeah.
That's why, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring the Pennsylvania Latino Convention to the city of Allentown September 29th, September 30th, and October 1st. It's all about celebrating, because nobody else will celebrate that for us. Mm-hmm. You know, este es como un quinceañero en el cual vamos a tener allí las tías, las abuelas, la celebración de quienes somos como latinos.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let me tell you, man, to be able to do this in the city that I grew up in, I mean, when you let me know, you know, because for folks that don't know, you know, I took a step away from a lot of things, you know, for me personally, just it was time to just regroup a little bit, a lot of boards and things like that. So I stepped away from a lot. But when Norman told me, man, because I thought you were going to go to Pittsburgh or Philly. But when you told me it was Allentown, I sat in my car and I'm thinking to myself, man, what an amazing moment. What an amazing moment to picture my dad. If my dad was here, God rest his soul, to picture my dad in front of City Hall with all of our fellow Puerto Ricans at the time, or in the mid to late mid-90s, picketing in front of City Hall because they put into place the English only law, where you could only go into government buildings and schools and speak only English, right? And see my family be out there picketing with signs and trying to fight for the right to speak, you know, Spanish and English, you know, and all the struggle that came with that, you know, the first Puerto Rican Day Parade with Nidia Ramos, my godmother, and that committee, to now put the Puerto Rican Culture Preservation with Flor Velez and Robert Velez and Jessica and their entire team. And then all the struggles that we've all gone through, whether it was Lancaster, Reading, you know, so many other cities, but to feel it here in the city that I grew up in, and I saw with my own eyes, my parents fighting for justice, you know, and just for to be equal. And so to bring it here, man, that's phenomenal. It's just a great, great moment. I keep seeing it over and over again, you know, when I again, like you mentioned, the fire chief and the police chief, and if my dad could see everything now. And I tell this to young people all the time, and I know you have too, you know, our parents fought so hard and this is what their dream was. This is what their dream was, to have us in positions so that we could lead as well. Not take over. We just want to be equal. We just want to be there alongside with you and working together and have some leadership positions and have a say, you know, and that was their dream. And a lot of that's coming to fruition now and moving forward. So it's a 3-day convention. Can you paint the picture from day one to day three if somebody wants to come?
Well, you know, it is a 3-day convention. But before I do that, you know, I would like to say publicly that the convention comes to Allentown. It's a gift to you as well. it is a gift for your leadership, for your service in the United States Armed Forces, for your leadership to the city of Allentown as a fine police officer. So we are also celebrating you. You know, we celebrated myself as a founding father of the convention in Lancaster in 2018, Olga as a founding mother in 2019. You're a founding father as well of the convention. So we're gonna bring it to Allentown in 2022. The convention, the first day is a Thursday. We are going to start with, it is all about Latino empowerment, right? So it is a plenary opening, which we're going to be discussing the real issues impacting the Latino community. Mm-hmm. We're going to have authentic, real, honest conversation about the issues that are impacting our community. Not only, you know, I don't want people to come to the convention thinking that this is going to be a blaming kind of event. That is not the way we have been conducting the convention. But rather, it is an opportunity for us to take responsibility. You know, if you are Latino, it's all about taking responsibility. If you are a Latino ally, you know, the industry or the business that you have been involved has not been good to people of color, I want to take your responsibility. So this is not a blaming game. Mm-hmm. It is an opportunity to take responsibility, all of us that come to the convention. So the first day is going to be a Latino Health Summit. So we're going to be discussing a lot of the issues related to health, health disparity, health equity, where are the numbers of Latino insurers, where are the issues impacting the Latino community when it comes to health and wellness. It is also, the first day is going to be a Latino Education Summit. So it is all about discussing educational matters in higher education, in elementary schools, school board directors, who are we running for school board here or there. So it's all the global map, the universe of health and education, and the Young Latino Leadership Institute, you know, developing the minds and souls of the young Latinos. So because you and I, we're not going to continue doing this, you know, forever. So we need some individual to replace us, and we're really happy. You know, if anybody comes along that is ready and able to replace us, hey, you know, the door is open. So that's the first day. And then we're going to be doing a celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month that is local. So it's going to be in Allentown, celebrating what makes Allentown so Latino, you know, celebrating the organizations that have made Allentown the Latino capital of Pennsylvania for 2022. So it's all about the local Allentown community. In addition to that, on Thursday, we have the State Latino Leadership Luncheon. So it's an opportunity for us to hear from the state Latino leaders about the issues that are impacting the community. And then on Friday, you know, we change. It's going to be, yes, we're going to have issues, you know, seminars on health and education, mm-hmm. but it's mainly dedicated to business development and entrepreneurship and making sure that we are providing the tools necessary for Latino businesses to be successful, workforce development, and where are the jobs of the future and what are we doing about it to prepare our kids to be ready for those jobs that are high paying jobs, you know, lifting up people out of poverty. Mm-hmm. That's the main priority. And then we are going to have, you know, the National Latino Leadership Luncheon, and that's where we bring national leaders so they share with us what's happening at the national level, because the Latino agenda in Pennsylvania cannot be divorced from the Latino agenda at the national level. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a big 65 million Latino community that Pennsylvania only had 1 million, but mm-hmm. we are part of that big community.
Yeah,
and then we have a gala, a Latino gala that day, that night at the Renaissance Hotel. It's gonna be a beautiful event to enjoy, to celebrate art and culture and what makes Latino, you know, the Latino community. So culturally, linguistically, multicultural. So it's gonna be a celebration of who we are, because it's the state official Hispanic Heritage Month celebration. And then Saturday, we're gonna end with the Pennsylvania Latina Women Conference. Mm. You know, it is an opportunity for us to really bring Latina women and Latina girls, because I would like to see a lot of the girls from the school district of Allentown and Bethlehem and Reading and Easton in the surrounding areas to join us that Saturday. So we can have conversations related to empowering, you know, our Latinas and making sure that they are recognized and that they are provided with the opportunity to be successful with information and resources.
Again, when I was part of it the first year and the second year, I mean, I remember just being there and feeling so at home, you know, because it doesn't matter if we don't know each other. So if you're coming from Pittsburgh, you're coming from Philly, you're coming from wherever to come to Allentown, we're family, you know, and that's how we do it in Latino community. So, man, it's just a great way to be together. The gala, right? The gala is such a beautiful event. Obviously, I mean, I'm not a good dancer, but people get out, we dance, and there's some awards. I think you give are you still doing the awards this year?
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing we're doing. And thank you for reminding me. There's so many things going on.
Yeah,
the Latino convention. This year, for the first time, because it's the fifth year, we are going to be launching Who's Who in Pennsylvania. Mm. And that is a list of the most influential Latino leaders from the past and the present. And it's going to be a publication that we hope that it will reach not only, you know, the public libraries, but everywhere that you have a Latino kid, going to a library, in an elementary school, in a middle school, in a high school, that they will go to that library and they will see this publication.
Wow.
And they will see themselves in there and say, you know what, when I grow up, I want to be like Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez.
Yes, yes.
Or I want to be like Judge Nelson Diaz,
yeah.
You know, because they are there. Mm-hmm. I think that you will agree with me. When you went to schools in Allentown and I went to high school in Lancaster, we were not celebrated. We were not recognized.
No,
we couldn't find books written by us, or we couldn't find, you know, motivational speakers that look and speak like us. So the Who's Who in Pennsylvania is an opportunity for us to recognize, but also to inspire the next generation of Latino leaders to really accomplish much more. I want them to break all records. You know, if we have accomplished anything, I want them to break all records of accomplishments. And the only way to do so is by providing them the path and the hope and the belief of our own example.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the thing. Every time this convention comes around, there's something new. There's something more inspiring. There's something else that makes you think like, man, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. If you want to check the previous years, check out their page, Pennsylvania Latino Convention. Check out their Facebook page, the Instagram. You'll see all the wonderful photos, all the recaps. I mean, you even posted all of the agendas from each year, the publication from, I believe the one year you did a study. Or did you do a recap?
Yeah, it was a what we call a white paper of a policy paper. That's another thing. You know, thank you for reminding me of that. You know, Luis, you are right on target, not me. You know, I'm missing all the points.
No, you're good. That's a conversation. That's what podcasts are for, man.
So out of Lancaster, we wrote a policy paper or a white paper that many organizations have been following. Mm-hmm. Because we make recommendations on workforce development and health and immigration and education. And a lot of organizations are following that white paper out of the convention in Allentown.
Mm.
Because, you know, the paper have been published now since 2019. So to some extent, it's old.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the convention in Allentown, we are going to have a new public policy white paper making recommendations. And that we hope to share with the new governor of Pennsylvania, because we are going to have a new governor in 2023. Mm-hmm. The 203 members of the House, the 50 members of the Senate, the mayors, city council, and school boards that serve Latino communities all across Pennsylvania. So we are going to share that white paper with them as a guide, so they better serve their Latino constituents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's an understanding and really just a breakdown. If you get a chance to get a hold of the first one, I'm sure you can get it with Norman, and it should be on the website. You could see the breakdown of everything. It's so thorough. It's there. It's just something that really puts to emphasis how important this convention is to our community. I remember the health expo, the education expo. I mean, from the breakfast to the lunches to the state dinner. I mean, you name it. This convention is the place to be. September 28th? 29th, September 30th, and October 1st. Yeah. So, and again, we're going to have everything there for you. I know that you're still looking for sponsors, anything like that. You want to let folks know?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, any individual that would like to grow with us, the Latino community is the largest minority ethnic group in the nation, 65 million Latinos in the US today. In Pennsylvania, we are surpassing, 1,049,650 Latinos in Pennsylvania. We are growing. Pennsylvania's growth accounted mostly to Latinos. So if you want to grow with us, because we are loyal customers, to the sponsors, if you want to grow with us, you need to invest in us. And there's no better way to see your investments really in a way that will have a direct impact socially, educationally, economically, and politically in the Latino community than investing in the Latino convention. You know, and this is not just because I am involved in the convention. Mm-hmm. It's because I see this all the time. I tell my political friends, you are losing because you didn't invest in the community that is growing. Mm-hmm. And that's why you are losing, in any election. Same happened with businesses. We see businesses closing doors all over the nation. Don't blame only on the pandemic and the economic issues that we are facing. Mm-hmm. It's because you fail. You fail to be open to everyone. You fail to grow with the segments of the society that are growing. So if you want to grow, we need you to be in the convention and you need to grow with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that also goes for volunteers. Listen, if you're a younger person, and I'm telling you, just like Norman said, he grew up in this environment when he was younger. He was able to see, those folks that planted these seeds. This is something that, like, for instance, Gio Garcia, wonderful young man, just wrote a book. I mean, you could speak a little bit on it, Norman, but he's one of them that came out and really just threw his name in the hat and said, let's go, let's rock. So if you're a younger person, you want to get involved, it's like a church, right? We talk about it all the time. If the church has a strong youth organization, that church is going to grow. They're going to take over, And so, I don't know if you want to touch a little bit on that.
Thank you for bringing that up as well. It is a great opportunity for young Latino leaders to get involved in the convention, to grow, to make connection. The work that we do politically, educationally, economically, business, entrepreneurship, is all about networking. So the convention provides an opportunity for network. In the case of Gio, which, it is an amazing story. Mm-hmm. Gio came to the convention in Bethlehem, and the transformation is incredible. It's motivational, it's inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I know that Gio wanted to write a book, right? Since he was young.
Yeah.
But he met the individuals that helped him write the book at the convention. Mm-hmm. So it's all about that network that create opportunities or expand opportunities for you to grow. So I will encourage young Latinos, and especially young Latinos in the Lehigh Valley, to come to the convention to learn, to get involved, because 20 years from now, I know, I am a witness of this, 20 years from now, you're going to be so grateful that you did.
There you have it, folks. Pennsylvania Latino Convention, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it this year. This is a convention that needs a year to plan out. Of course, I've seen it firsthand. Norman has done it several years. Even the conferences that they had before, they take a lot of time, a lot of sponsorships, a lot of volunteer work, a lot of folks that just want to come back and give back to their community, give back to their culture. So if you do want to get in contact with Norman, you can do it through Facebook. I'll let him plug that at the end. I do want to transition real quick. There's only two more questions. I'm excited about this convention. This is something that I'm so proud that you're bringing in here, Norman, and thank you for that. This is a question that I ask all my guests. We're going to transition a little bit here because I think it's important. You have a lot of life experience, a lot of political experience, a lot of, even private sector experience, and then obviously with the convention. But I got to ask you one piece of advice or some advice that everything you know now, that you would give to yourself at 19, if you could talk to your 19-year-old Norman right now, one piece or some advice that you would give to Norman.
That is one of the toughest questions. I believe that back then, as an island boy, I trusted way too much systems and institutions and you know, and individuals that took advantage not only of my naiveness, but also the naiveness of my community. So my advice to 19-year-old Norman would be, yeah, still be that island boy with morals and ethics and, you know, a great sense of community, but don't get yourself get used for anyone's political ambitions. Don't do it. Now, I love politics and you know that. I will never divorce myself from politics.
Yeah.
But I will tell myself that, and I think I will think that today things will have been a little bit different. You know, you place people in position of leadership and position of power, and they forget about you or they see you as a threat. So they want to take you out of the way, creating nonsense, creating hurdles, or creating lies. And that's what I will tell my 19-year-old Norman.
And again, this is why I asked the questions, because there's a 19-year-old kid out there that wants to get involved in politics or that wants to get involved in even in the private sector or in any organization. And it's relevant. It's relevant. You have to be careful. You know, you have, and again, we talk about it all the time. You know, when you are throwing your name in that hat or you're ready to go, you know, be careful of who you're doing it with, and always, you know, have something to back up against, because you know, you just never know. You never know who's really going to be there for you and who's going to be your friend and all those things. So thank you. I struggled a lot at 19. That's why I asked that question, man, because at 19, I was a lost young man and I needed a mentor. I needed a friend. I needed some advice. And these shows, you know, 26 shows later, there's 26 pieces of advice and everybody is giving great advice. And so I thank you for that, man. There was a 19-year-old that needed to hear that. So, all right. So real quick, if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, somebody want to work with you with the convention, somebody wants to get into politics or they need something relative diversity or something involving your government job, where could they find you?
You know, thank you for the opportunity to be at your show. We are transparent. It's an open door policy. So anything related to the convention is on Facebook, Instagram. Just look for the Pennsylvania Latino Convention, or go on the website, palatinoconvention.com. That's related to the convention. In my case, if I can be of any assistance, my email is the best way to contact me. It's NBC for Norman Bristol Colon, nbclatino@gmail.com. Or at my job, you know, the work that I do is for the people of Pennsylvania. I serve 13 million Pennsylvanians. Wow. So my email is public information. So please reach out at the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development at mbristolco@pa.gov.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And again, we're going to share all that within the write-up for this episode. Norman, thank you so much, man. Like I said, it's an honor. I look up to you. You're a mentor of mine. I love your passion and it's just an honor to have you on my show. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Gracias a ti, mi hermano. Y sabes muy bien que los mejores días aún están por venir. We are 1 million strong.
Absolutely. There you have it, folks. Number 26 is in the books with my main man, Norman Bristow. Que no se olvide, the Pennsylvania Latino Convention is coming to Allentown. And like I always say, stay connected.